Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, our brother. Father, we thank you for this day, this Shabbat. We thank you for the breath of life, and we ask that you forgive us for all our sins that we committed knowingly and unknowingly, willfully and unwillfully, Father. We ask that you give ear to our prayer. Once again, Father, we thank you for this time that you set apart for us, Father. The time to commune with you, Father, the time that you have called us to come to talk to you. Father, we thank you for protecting us throughout this week, allowing us to see yet another week go by, Father. We thank you for the obstacles that we overcame, Father. We thank you for the failures that we have also, Father, and the lessons within them. Father, we ask that you open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to your word, Father. We ask that your spirit be among us and that we speak and do what is pleasing to you, Father. We ask that anyone who's on the way, that you protect them, get them here safely. We ask that you heal whoever's hurting physically, mentally, spiritually. Heal them according to your will, Father. Comfort them according to your will. And just let them know that you're always there, Father. Father, we ask now that as we embark upon your journey, that your word be in our mouth, Father, and that we edify your people according to your will. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe. Who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Moshe va Yisrael. First time I had to say those words in a minute. I sound pretty okay?
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Good. Shabbat shalom, family. Hope everybody had a great week. And this is hitting. It's the Shabbat. You know. Today we're going to have an open discussion. So if anybody has anything that they have on their mind or anything like that, they can put it on the table. But one of the things that... I do want to talk about is integration, number one. Did Yahweh want us to integrate within this system? You know? Well, because the word is clear. He put us here. He did this. He told us that because of our disobedience, I'm going to allow these things to happen to you, right? So, we disobeyed, he removed that hedge, and now we're in the situation that we're in. He also told us, he gave us specific things, and He told us how to survive in this.
Amen.
Now, in our survival, where we supposed to integrate in this, where we supposed to be so caught up in this system, let's look at this word integrate. Now, the word integrate, it means, of it comes from a Latin word integra, which means whole, and as you keep on going, it means to make whole or made whole. Integra, integre, integrat. And it says from a Latin integrate, which means to make whole, from a single, from the verb integrare or integra, which means whole. So are we us who are here down in this system, right? The fact that that integration happens means that at one time it was a separation because you're making it whole. So at one time, and to it still, we're not looked at as part of this, as part of this system. Like, we're not. Because certain people are treated one way, while other people are treated another way. You know, the atrocities that happen to us, you know what I mean, us as the quote-unquote minorities, the people of color, you know, let us know that we're not part of this system, but yet we are part of this system. You know, because it can't function without us. You know, if it could function without us, they would just get rid of us. It would be wiped. So we play a part within the system. But the Yahweh want us to play, be part of the system, be part of the whole, be made whole with the system. Right? So let's look at a couple of different things. And we're going to start off in the book of Daniel. Chapter 1. Verse 1. All right? You guys say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Daniel 1:1. Because this is how Babylon started the integration of Israel within its system. This is one of the things that it did. Matter of fact, it's the first thing it did. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Yehuda, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, onto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the master gave Jehoiakim, king of Yehuda, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of Elohim, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his mighty one. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his mighty one. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the prince's seed. So the first thing as far as integration goes, it starts with the kids. You know, it starts with the kids. These young minds are impressionable. They learn very, very quickly. And Yahushua said this: If a tree be unholy, if a tree be no good, the fruit is going to be no good. If a tree be good, then the fruit is going to be good. So, however, whatever state that tree in is going to produce whatever it's going to bring forth. So you get these kids at this young age, whatever you teach them, that's what they're going to bring forth. And they're going to produce fruit and or kids after them. So the first thing they got to do is get the kids. They have to get these. Fast forward to now. The attack is on the children. Why is it that children's rights have taken the forefront now? What a child thinks. The word says you're supposed to train up this child. And when he gets older, he's not going to depart from those ways.
Right?
But now you're giving these children the right to train themselves up. That's what you're doing. So much so that they can pick what gender they want to be. They can pick how they want to dress. You know, if there is something that they do wrong, there's no repercussions behind it. You can't tell them no now. You have to tell them, you know, if an answer is wrong, you can't tell them no, that's the wrong answer. Well, look at it. You have to go about things differently, you know. You spank a child, they can call the cops and get you locked up, you know. But these are the things that's going on in this, because we need these kids to be the next cog in the machine, you know. You know, we need these children to be the next cog in the machine. So he says, and the king spake unto Asphanaz, the king of the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. And remember, the best of the best. That's where they starting at, the best of the best, right? Children in whom was no blemish. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and had in such as had an ability, excuse me, he said, Aki? Oh, okay. He said, in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they want the standout kids, number one. These are the first ones we're going at. Is the standouts. So you got people who take these little geniuses. There's no other way to describe them, because some of these kids, an 8-year-old finishing college courses, these are the people we're after, you know. You got a 12-year-old who was a Rhodes Scholar, you know. And they come in, and make no mistake about it, it happens more often with people of color than any other race. You know, you go to John Hopkins. All the people who of color who went to John Hopkins University graduated the top of their class. That's something they never advertise. You know, they'll just have us thinking that we're meant for menial things. And we're not. You know, not in all cases, because I'm not a Rhodes Scholar, but no way, shape, or form. But I serve my purpose. I know where I get in and I get at, you know. So they are the first people they come in after, right? But the next level isn't exempt either. the ones who aren't, quote unquote, the savants, but they're right under, you know. But these are who we want. Because we need people that's going to stand up and represent us, you know, as we go out in this world. We need little Ricky who we can teach this tongue to. And I just found out, who was it? Somebody's famous child. Oh, Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon's son speaks 4 different languages already. And he's like 12 years old. Why advertise that, though? You know, why advertise that? These are the type of things that we look at where in the word, these are the people we're looking for. You know, so my kids speak 4 different languages. Really? Oh, we can teach him that? Oh, okay. No problem. Good one, Nick Cannon. You know, but they're the people that they're looking for. So he also says this. A hair button. Sorry about that. I got to get back to where I was. All right. We start in verse 4. It says, children who has no blemish, but well favored. So we're looking for the pretty ones also. Ones because not. She's so cute. She's so beautiful. She's so this, that, and another bit. And he looks good, and he looks good. These are the ones people are going to follow. You know, they're going to follow what they see. He says, skillful people, kids that have skill. You know, what's the point of having these competitions? You know, you have science fairs, right? And these are different things that they teach you when you at a young age. You have the science fairs. You have the mathematician classes. You have the spelling bees. You have this, that, and another. What's the point of that?
Come on now.
You know, you're supposed to teach these kids how to do these different things, but now you're putting them on display, right?
Come on.
You have the athletics, and you know the athletics. Who's going to jump the highest? Who's going to run the fastest? Who's going to, you know, I can throw a javelin. Think about the javelin. That's a spear. I can chuck a spear. X amount of yards, you know, that's a way of killing a man. You know, these were the people that you was looking for, soldiers.
Wow.
You know, and it's no different. Like, it's no different. You know, why? You know, you got to train these people into this.
Wow.
You know, so he says, children who is no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that then thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Yehuda, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Unto whom the prince of the Enochs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. First thing they did, change their names. Why? I changed the name. I disassociate you with who you're from. I'm showing ownership of you. You now belong to me. Think about how many celebrities. Every celebrity did not start off with the name that they had, you know. First thing they want to do, disassociate with who they were. Because now I'm not XYZ, I'm Jay-Z. No, I'm not Sean Carter, I'm Jay-Z, you know. I'm not... I don't know a whole bunch of people's names, but you get what I'm saying. It's to disassociate with who and why. Now, Sean Carter don't work for Def Jam. Jay-Z works for Def Jam. Def Jam owns Jay-Z. You know? Sean Carter isn't owned by them. You know, so they can't hear.
I still hear you. Not
because
I'm dead, but you're still coming through.
Okay.
Love,
love, love. All right. Let's try it this way. How about now? Huh? That too. Yeah, that too. I'm talking with with a mask on, y'all, so. Sorry. Okay. How about now? Can you hear us now? Okay. Okay, cool. All right. So, again, first thing to do, change your name to disassociate you with who you were, right? And show ownership over you, right? Verse 8. He says, oh, next thing they do, my fault. Before that happened, it says, he gave the king gave meat, which is no different than here's this money. You know, we're gonna pay out, we're paying you out. We're gonna give you this meat. We're gonna give you whatever it takes. Cool. Whatever it takes for you to buy into this, right? Because right before that, you had the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and wine he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. At the end thereof, they might stand before the king. So, in order for you to get, I got to tempt you in some way. But after you accept this meat, after you accept this gift from me, now your name got to change. Right? So, verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. See, Daniel was part of the system, but he didn't integrate within the system. His mindset was different. Right? He got took and he took on the name, he did this, that, and another. But in his heart, he was like, no, I'm not going to pay me off. No problem. I'm not going to let this payment sway me from who I am. You know? And that's how we're supposed to be within this system. We can function, and Yahweh said this. First thing he said, Babylon is going to overtake you, Israel. This is what is going to happen. I'm not going to have any mercy on you. You're going into this captivity. So anybody who fights against Babylon is going to die. Those who go down into the captivity is going to live. Now, while you're down there, build you some houses, make you some vineyards, you know, live life how you've been living life, right? Because you're going to be down there. Your life is going to be a prey. He said, that's how it's going to be. People are going to be stalking you. People are going to want to kill you from every side. That's par for the course, you know, par for the course. Remember, we was always surrounded by our enemies. Always. That's something we ought to be used to by now. The Ammonites was on one side. The Amorites on another side. They had the people up in the hills, the Jebusites up in the hills. We were always surrounded by enemies. Always. So that's something that we ought to be used to. One, I don't think Abba wants us to get comfortable down here. Right? Because he said, we just passing through. We sojourners. We just passing through. Right? But
us going down here, you got rules for living down here, but the problem is, and the problem will always be, we forgot about the Most High down here. You're going to go down in this area, you're going to go down into this captivity, but don't forget me. You know? Don't forget what your duty to me. You know? Don't forget your duty to me.
Right.
So he says this. The only purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now Elohim had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my master the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Look, man, I understand what you're saying. I get it. But you not eating this meat, you're not going to be as strong as them. You're going to look different because you were picked because you was the best of the best. I need you to stay on point. I need you to be part of this regimen, you know. But Yahweh worked the man's heart, and he worked with Daniel. See, Daniel had that connection to the Most High, and that never superseded anything. I mean, he didn't let anything supersede that. That's what I should say. As long as Daniel was connected to that, what do you say? I'm not defiling myself. I don't care what you give me. This money ain't gonna make me or break me. You know, I might have it now, but as long as I have my connection to the Most High, I can lose it all, and I'm good with that. You know, because once we take our eyes off of the Most High, that's when the problems begin. You know, it became about something else. The civil rights thing warped into something else. First it was black rights, then it became civil rights, and then on the top of that, the gay rights came. This whole thing with the whole shootings and the masses, excuse me, the Black Lives Matter stuff. On the back ends of that, you know, when the brother read what their manifesto was, what they wanted to do, destroy the patriarchy and flip the norm upside down, turn the world upside down. You know, you see exactly what they're trying to do. You know, but it's all on the backs of something else. It's the smoke screen.
Right.
You know, it's the smoke screen. And I don't know why this phone.
It's 13.
Yeah. Yeah, but it flipped off the whole chapter again. All right. Down 13, you said. All right. So, again, when we go down into this captivity, Yahweh is going to have favor for us. As long as we obey and do not defile ourselves, you know, we're not supposed to be integrated within this system that it takes us away from the Most High. Because some people didn't. That rabbi got Nick Cannon so riled up. And he told that, and he told Nick Cannon, don't apologize. Because once you apologize, you're going to look wishy-washy, and that's going to be your problem. Right? So that white man didn't lie to him.
And he did it anyway.
Instead, you know what that white man told him, really? Stand on the word of the Most High. That's what that rabbi told him. Don't you apologize. If this is your belief, stand on it. Don't you go back. But what he do? $60 million is a lot of money. Might have to go back to the projects after this one. So I messed this up. My contract's going to be gone, this, that, and another. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know what? Apologizing sounds real good because I get to keep the king's meat. I get to keep it. See, that rabbi was actually telling him, I'm going to show you some favor. You know? That rabbi was actually giving him what we're reading in Daniel. And they don't even believe in Daniel. They don't accept Daniel, to my knowledge. Right? So, he says this. Anybody got anything you want to add right now? I meant to ask that.
I wanted to make a contrast with what you were saying, because I thought it was interesting that, and I agree 100%, because when you think about all of these different contests that they have in the schools, what are they doing? They're fishing. They're trying to find the cream of the crop. I was thinking about the show. I couldn't remember it last time I saw it. It's called Little Big Shots.
Steve Harvey.
You have these kids with these different talents and things like that. So they fishing. They're trying to find the better of the best. You know. So what was interesting, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm just going to read these verses in self-explanatory. And this is Brother Shaul, of course. He writes, "For you see your calling. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but Elohim have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and Elohim have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath Elohim chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence."
That's right.
So I thought that was interesting that the world is looking for the opposite. We focus on all of these outward signs or evidences that somebody is special. But the Creator not looking for that.
Not at all.
He's looking for something that's deep within. He don't judge like man does. You know, I thought that was an interesting contrast.
Israel, I didn't pick you because you was the mightiest. I picked you because you was the least of all the people on this planet. You was the least. You was the bottom of the barrel. And I love you. You know? But again, Babylon wants the mighty man. You know? And I'm gonna take all the mighty men that I can from everybody and bring them here. Right? Anybody else got anything you want to add? All right, he says, verse 11, he says, "This said Daniel to," verse 11, he says, "This said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this manner and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and sadder in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portions of the meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. So Daniel stood on that word, and he said, "Okay, Father, I'm not going to defile myself. Even though I'm down here, even though I'm picked, even though I get all that, I don't want to defile myself. So, what to do? Most High gave him that plan. Told him exactly what to do. Most High put those words in his mouth and then brought everything that he said to pass. Why? I know you don't want to do this thing. I get it. You know? But one of the things that we also see is the beginnings of his relationship with Yahweh. You know? He says, verse 17, he says, and as these four children, or as for these four children, Elohim gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So, all because he did not want to defile himself. And he didn't get caught up in this. Messiah said, be in this world, but don't be of it. Don't get so jammed up in this world that this world takes you away from me. You know? I'm your... The Torah is our wisdom and our understanding in front of all the nations, all of them. So if we step away from that, we don't get this favor that Daniel got. We don't get it because we have now stepped away from our wisdom. How was Daniel at this age, 10 times him, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, 10 times better than every magician and every astrologer in his realm already, as a kid. Because Elohim was, it was something. Elohim, Yahweh filled him with this wisdom in his life. So that's the connection that they had. That's the connection that they had. And that's the connection that we're supposed to have. You know? Because when they come to us with that foolishness, it's like, oh, nope. He shows you exactly how to dismantle it. You know? Here's the rule, the switch that you ain't supposed to hit that drops their whole argument down. You know, because they come with the wisdom of the world against us. But we have the wisdom of Yahweh. And that's what they can't stand. But again, we're not supposed to be so caught up in this world. We're not supposed to integrate in this world where we are where we're twisted up. You know, it's an old proverb where it talks about a cord of two is strong, but a cord of three is stronger. Somewhere like that. Basically, as you tie these cords together, it strengthens. Right. But why is it strengthening? Because the three is now becoming one. You know? So we can't be twisted up. And think about it. As you're twisting these cords, and as you're twisting them, they become entangled to the point where you can't untangle them. They're literally becoming one. You know? So especially some of those synthetic cords, those nylon cords, they're so twisted up that if you try to, they all just stretch together. You know, they just all stretch together. There's no way that you're pulling them apart. You know, but that's a truth in this world. That some people are so entangled within this world, there's no way you're pulling them apart. And that's where he wanted, that's where the beast wanted us. Where we are so entangled in this world, we can't pull away, we can't separate from it, you know, because Yahweh has things for us, and we have to keep our eyes on it. But how can we, if we're integrated and this is the whole, we're making this whole, we're not making Yahweh whole, you know, how can we? You know what I'm saying? So let's go to, gotta find this real quick. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 30. Starting at verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 30, starting at verse 20, and it reads, "And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the 7th day of the month, that the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and lo, it shall not be bound up to be healed, to put a roller to bind it, to make it strong to hold the sword. Therefore, thus saith the Master Yahweh, behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and I will break, and will break his arms, and, and will break his arms, the strong, and that which was broken, and I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand. But I will break Pharaoh's arms, and he shall groan before him with the groanings of a deadly wounded man. But I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down. And they shall know that I am Yahweh, when I put my sword in the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and disperse them among the countries, and they shall know that I am Yahweh." So, we were in Egyptian captivity, right? Yahweh broke that bond. Right. To the point where he said himself, "I'm breaking his arms. I'm going to break Pharaoh's arms to the point he can't even hold the sword." Right? He said the sword won't drop out of his hand. But since I broke that arm, I'm going to strengthen the arm of Babylon. Right? I'm putting my sword in Babylon's hand. We went into that captivity too. So those who are fighting against Babylon are fighting against the sword of Yahweh that is in Babylon's hand. Even the Egyptians. Even those who sitting up there who are not Israelites, he said, "I'm scattering the Egyptians just like I scattered the Israelites. I'm scattering the Egyptians." So all these people who think that they're going to fight against the sword of Yahweh, they're in trouble. Let's not be dumb and not fight against our mighty one.
Right.
He said, this is my deal. This is my deal. These things that are coming upon you, it's because it's only for one reason. We read it every week. Repent, 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 repent. Turn back to me. You don't turn back to me, huh? You must like the beat. You must like it. You must like the tip of the sword. Right? But he also said, I'm going to keep them. It's not going to get no easier. He's strengthening the arm of Babylon. And then what happened? We read from after that, the next one came because Daniel went all the way up to Cyrus. So then he strengthened the arm of Greece. Babylon's sword fell out. But whose sword is picked? Who Greece is picking up? If I took it, I took a sword from Pharaoh, right? Gave it to Babylon. Now I'm taking a sword from Babylon, giving it to Greece. Now I'm taking a sword from Greece and giving it to this beast. But at the end, I'm going to cut all of them down. You know? While we're in this system, we can't fight against the system. We can't. But we have to work hard not to defile ourselves. You know? Let's look at the perfect one. Go back to the book of Daniel. And this is what he means by this. All right? Daniel, I think it's chapter 7. 9-7. The one when he opened up the windows, when they were supposed to bow down to the
That's three.
Yep. Daniel chapter 3, we start at verse 1. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image, which Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried, to you is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people of nations and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. That includes the people of Israel that was there at that time. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Some of the Jews, because some of the Jews fell down. They spake and said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worship that worship, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom hast thou set over the affairs of the provinces. See, those ones, those Jews that's up in there who are holding on to Yahweh. That's the target. Because they didn't integrate. They're not playing ball. You know? You can be a politician, but don't be a corrupt one. You know? Don't accept the bribes. Because these are the people that Yahweh wants people within this system to work for him. He needs people in high places. He needs judges. He needs lawyers. He needs a businessman in high places. I just need you to have a connection with me. But so many people get caught up in the corruption of this system and they defile themselves. That's the problem. I'm not saying that you got to be broke within this system or you can't live life lavishly, so to speak. You know, you can be a $200,000 a year servant of Yahweh, but don't defile yourself with the money. Just remember who gave it to you.
Right.
You know, remember who gave you the wisdom to make that money and the ability to make that money. You know, huh? Cha-ching, right? I'm nowhere near that. But he says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now, these are the same men that he himself said was 10 times better than all the astrologers and all the because he wasn't talking about just Daniel. He was talking about them too. These are the same men that worked hard for your kingdom and to keep it prosperous and this, that, and another. But guess what? As soon as I disobey, I'm going to show you how much you're not integrated with us. So hold on. See, I'll chop you off the minute you don't do what I say. Y'all would not like that. He spanks us, but it's just to get us back to doing what he says. He said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to do these things. Right? He says, verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set? Now if you be ready, that what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you should be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that mighty one that shall deliver you out of my hands? So, look, I'm going to give you a chance. When you hear the music, worship, and everything will be forgiven. But if you don't, I'm going to kill you. What? Nick Cannon. Don't do it. Please don't change your mind. They didn't change their mind. And guess what happened? We're going to read. We know what happened, but verse 16, he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our mighty one whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fire, burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Plain and simple. We're not going back on our word. Because this is our beliefs. This is what we hold on to. And we have this connection with the Most High. He said, we're not even going to be careful about this. I'm not even going to try to word this in a nice way. I'm going to just tell you flat out, look, if my mother wasn't going to deliver me, he can. But if he don't, I'm going to burn up. But I'm still not worshiping your God. That's what they're saying. Flat out. I ain't going to mix no words with you. So he says, verse 19, there was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visions was changed. So he was so mad that his face changed. Like, you know, he got so angry, you could see that spirit on him. You know, you could, the person that spirit pokes his head out, you know, that's when his visage changed. He says, there was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than this. Yeah, 7 times more than it was won't be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys that was throwing them in got killed. That's how hot it was. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, look, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking around in the midst of the fire, and they have no hope. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of Mighty One. Mm-hmm. Right? Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the furnace, burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High Mighty One, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains of the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their hair singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed. Yahweh protected them in every way. Even to the point that even if you put a flashlight close enough to something, they burn, you can smell the heat from it. They couldn't even smell the heat on the coats of fire that when the guy went to throw him in, he died. That was his last breath. He says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be not. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the mighty one of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any mighty one except their own. So they literally changed law. All because they stood on the word of Yahweh. They stood on the word of Yahweh. Right? They didn't allow. My father said, don't worship nobody else. I refuse to be defiled by the system. Right? I refuse to be defiled by the system. So my father said, don't worship nobody else. I ain't going to worship nobody else. Well, you're going to die. Okay, I'm going to die. But I ain't going to worship nobody else. You know? They threw him in. One, they didn't die. Two, the king comes back and changes the decree that he set forth. All because they had faith. He says, verse 29, he says, therefore make a decree that every people, nation and language, which speak anything amiss against the mighty one of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other mighty one that can deliver after this. So I better not hear nobody say nothing about Yahweh. And if you do, I'm going to cut your whole house down. That was his decree. And that went out through all the land. So guess what? For a time, and think about that. How famous the Yahweh name had to be then. When he said that he's going to bring some fame and put some weight on his name, you better not say nothing bad about the Most High to the point that your whole family's going to die. And that was the decree that went out through all the land. He says, verse 30, he said, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So I was actually looking for the other one where Daniel opened up the window when they told him, we know the other story, because they told Daniel, look, you're going to have to worship this. You're going to have to bow down and worship this. Daniel said, I ain't doing it. So as soon as the music came on, he was supposed to bow down and worship it. Daniel opened up the window. Oh, there's a certain time he couldn't pray. Six. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that was it. Yep. Well, let's read that one too. Daniel chapter 6, down in verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So he was number two guy underneath the king. Number two. He was the vice president of this is Darius, so this is Median Persia. So he was the vice president of the Median Persian Empire. Right? He says, verse 3, he said, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So at my old job, my the owner, Marshall Klein, he's the owner, he's the CEO, he actually stepped down. Because he had a baby, he got a wife, got kids now, and you know he wants to enjoy his life. He's been working his whole life. He started off as in his father's market, pushing carts. Right, his father didn't give him nothing. He started off pushing carts. He made him work within their market, so he would love their market. Once he got older, he took over. Right, became the CEO. So now he stepped down and put another guy within his spot. So he's no longer the CEO. He was like, I'm just going to go chill. Well, that's what they're thinking to do with Medallion. He said, I'm thinking about letting him run the whole world. You know, I'm going to just give it all to Daniel. You know, I'm going to still be around somewhere, but Daniel's going to run the show. You know, this is the because he had an excellent spirit. What that mean? That just means he was connected with the Most High. That's all that means. He was different. He did his job correctly. He went into work, did his job correctly. He said the company of the Median Persian Empire suffered no damage. Oh, you raising your hand? Oh, you just said, okay. He said the Median Persian Empire suffers no damage. This man has a connection to the Most High. I don't need to be here. I can just let him run the whole thing. You know, I can sit back in my summer house, my winter house, and I know Daniel got it. So he says, verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his mighty one. They know that. How they know that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been through that. They know the history. They know the history. You know, they know it. These men are so dedicated to the Most High. The only way we're going to have to do it, we're going to have to find a loophole that's in their dedication, or try to, you know. But they don't understand that with that dedication, the Most High protects us within that dedication, you know. Right. For a while, it was a time I had to work on Shabbat. But I kept on getting random. Look, I need Shabbat off. Can't be working. And eventually, I got that Shabbat off.
Right.
Why? Father, it's your Shabbat. You said don't work. Handle that one. And he did. You know, but you got to be dedicated. You know, you got to constantly pray to him. And then had to call in slick a couple times, too. I really did. You know, but they got the point. Look. The place don't fall out just because I'm not here on the Shabbat. I came back the next day, it was still standing. And the next day after that, it will still be standing. You know, just getting my Shabbat off. So he says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any mighty one or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, and his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day, and pray and gave thanks before his mighty one, as he did aforetime. Y'all ain't gonna stop me talking my conversation with the Most High. Y'all ain't stopping that. And I'm gonna make sure that y'all know y'all ain't gonna stop that, because I'm gonna show you. This is my dedication to Yahweh. I'm gonna show you that. So he waited till he knew it was law to start doing this. But look. Before, he might have had the windows closed. But now, I'm going to open them up just to make sure everybody knows I'm dedicated to Yahweh. So he says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his mighty one. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Has thou not signed the decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any mighty one or man within 30 days, save O thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Yahuwah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Why? He knew he got set up. He knew these men. Oh, that's why y'all came to me. Oh, man, they was after Daniel all along. What? Yahweh had favor. Yahweh moved on that man's heart to make him understand that. I don't want to lose Daniel. I can't. I'm just thinking about promoting him to the whole, to the number one spot and giving him the whole kingdom. He never did me wrong. He never, his books is right. You can't even find any error in his books. Every T is crossed, every I is dotted. That's the type of man he is. And on top of that, he ain't like these other bozos. You know, he's on point. He says, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes of the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy mighty one, who thou servest continually, he will deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting, neither was instruments of music brought before him. And his sleep went from him. So he was up all night. He didn't eat. He said, that's how worried he is for this man. You know? Because a good man got set up. You know? And I'm a part of this. These men played me. You know? Look at the favor that the Most High is showing upon this man. Right? He says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with the lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living mighty one, is thou mighty one, who thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My mighty one hath sent his angels, and have shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his mighty one. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the lion's den, into the den of the lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came unto the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the mighty one of Daniel, for he is the living mighty one, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So, wow. What will happen to Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and Daniel if they were intertwined or integrated within this system? Would that favor still have been shown? You know, because they've been loving things outside of the Most High. You know? Again, you want to be a doctor, go be a doctor. You want to be a lawyer, go be a lawyer. So do all the things that Abba allows you to do. But don't put nothing in front of them. That's how we not integrate within the system. Keep Yahweh first. You know, that's what we have to do. You know, any questions before we close out? Questions or comments about anything? All right, we'll read this last one. Psalms 85. Psalms 83. Verse 1, it says, a psalm of Asaph. Keep not thy silence, O Elohim, hold not thou peace, and be not still, O El. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you. Against thee. I'm going to stop right there. One of the ways that they have taken crafty counsel against us is integration. Because we're caught up in a system that ain't ours. It's not ours. You know? What do you say? They're confederate against you. The nations raise a tumult against you. Look at what we saw with Daniel. That's nothing but short of the nations coming against those who serve the Most High. Trying to setting up the people who observe the law. Who want to do what Yahweh say. You know, and are prospering in it. You know? So family, keep Yahweh first at the end of the day. Keep him first. You know? Any questions or comments about anything? All right. Goku. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah.
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 Father Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King. Once again, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the breath of life. We thank you for being able just to be around one another. Father, that's your desire. We come together today, on this day, to speak to you. Father, we ask that you put your spirit upon our brother, Ahabel, that you put your words within his mouth, that he edify us, Father, and speak what is pleasing to you. Father, we ask that you continue to protect anyone who is on their way. Get them here safely. We ask, Father, that you continue to bless all the children. Bless our sister, Matt. Comfort her. Strengthen her according to your will. Bless our sister, Samaria. Comfort her. Strengthen her according to your will, Father. Father, just continue to watch over us as your little children. Grow us in the way that you find desirable, Father, giving us what we need at the time. In Yahushua's name, we just give you praise, thanks, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, John. The wicked are up on my eyes and mind. Is that God? Son of Nun, who brought I and I cross River Jordan, and though the Amorites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites all tried to fight against the Israelites, they gave us victory before the daylight. God, we call. Come along and let us be rectified. Let us rise and sing.